First Corinthians chapter 12. We talked about the ministry of Jesus. This is part 4. He ministered by the word of faith. The centurion came for his servant. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, no, just speak the word only. Speak the word only. That's the strength of faith. That's the greatest degree of faith. When you and God can sit together and you can speak the word and receive what you need. And then we had the prayer of faith. Or you can get somebody to join you, and then it's the prayer of agreement. And whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. That's the commitment of Jesus himself. And then the last weeks we've covered the touch of faith, the laying on of hands with the anointing or without the anointing. It says they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Recover is a strong word. It means, it usually indicates some time. Recover. Now, I like instant, but I know faith and patience inherits a promise. If it doesn't come instant, you're not going to give up. You're not going to quit. You're not going to surrender. The word works. It works today. You have it today because it's paid for. You know, if they called you from a department store and somebody has paid for your new bedspread, well, you don't have it. You haven't seen it, but you do have it. Actually, it's yours because it's paid for, but you do have to go get it. And so there's a time frame there, and often in healing there's a time frame. Now our fourth thing is what we call gifts of healing. Now I want you to follow me in the scripture. 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. He said, I would not have you ignorant. This is a subject that we're supposed to be well versed in, but the church is poorly versed in for the most part and misunderstands. Now, do you see that word gifts is italicized? Do you know what that means? It means the translators added it. So, now concerning spiritual, brethren, because all of this chapter is not about gifts. So, now concerning spiritual, or spirituals, some translations say concerning things of the Spirit, concerning things done by the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, we're supposed to know to some degree how the Spirit operates, so we can be cooperative with Him. Now, they were ignorant. Our denomination didn't ever mention this that I ever heard. We came from the denominational church, Wayne and I, and we were relatively ignorant on lots of subjects. But he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. I want you to understand. I want you to grow strong in knowledge. You know you were Gentiles carried away these dumb idols even as you were led. The reason that they didn't know anything and they were ignorant because they were surrendered to idols, and there isn't any move of the Spirit in the idol kingdom. You knew that, right? So when they came to Christianity, they didn't understand and they had to be taught. Now, when you come down to verse 4, 5, and 6, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations. It's the same God which worketh all in all. You notice it mentions Spirit, Lord, and God. You notice we're talking about gifts, administrations, and operations. We're not just talking about gifts. Now you have 9, we call them gifts. It says the manifestation, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. These are all for profit, and this is how the Spirit manifests himself. He hears from God, and he brings these things into lives, into our life, into lives. And these things are come to you in order for you to minister to others. They're the gift of the church, the manifestation given to the church so that the church can minister healing to others in a new dimension. Now, it says there are gifts. You understand gifts because you know birthdays, right? And you can't command. You can invite me to your birthday, but you can't command me to come or to bring anything. So this is something God is doing. And then it says administrations. If you need information on a student, you have to go to the administrative office. Administration is where the information is parked when it comes to you. Administration. And the reason gifts in verse 1 can be eliminated because we have 3 different things. And then operations. You understand if the toaster's not operating, you didn't plug it in. It's either broken or you didn't plug it in. We don't use toasters. We gave ours away. I like mine pan fried and lots of butter. Don't tell my doctor if you see him. I think he's against that. Operations. Operations when something's on, when something's working. Now, in these nine manifestations, this is the way the Holy Ghost operates. And it says in verse 11, this works, the one in self-same spirit. This is the way he works. Dividing to every man severally as he will. You understand the Holy Ghost is not an independent force. He's in full agreement with the Father and the Son. Now, the best way to understand it is not to divide it, gifts, administration, operations. I just want you to be aware and to see that. You understand discerning of spirits would operate. If you see into the spirit world, it's because it's on and it operates. God turned it on so you could see. When Paul was in the city and the little girl kept following him, said, "These men are the men of the Most High God." He didn't cast that devil out. He didn't do anything at first. What is he waiting on? He's waiting on the operation of discerning of spirits. He's waiting on to see. Discern is to see. He's waiting to see so he can move in agreement with the spirit. It operates. Discerning of spirit is something that operates. It either is or it isn't. You get that, right? And then you have administrations, which would be word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It's something that God knows that he's going to tell you that you don't know. And if he doesn't tell you, you don't have any way of knowing. We'll give you some examples. And then there's gifts of healings. It's always plural in the original text. It's only plural in verse 28 of this chapter. But it should be plural all the time. It's gifts of healings. And there's a reason for that. We can make supposition there, and I'll tell you about that. Now, in order to understand these better than remembering who does what, when, and where, there are three gifts that speak. Three, three, and three. Three gifts that speak, that's tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. The strongest gift, obviously, is prophecy, because tongues, interpretation cannot stand alone. Tongues requires interpretation. Interpretation comes after tongues. But prophecy is the strongest gift. Now, the reason that's important to us is because at the end of this chapter, he said, desire the best gifts. And the best gift of that trio is prophecy. Because if I speak to you in prophecy, then you know what I said, and you can act and respond to what I said. Now, many times we talk about prophecy, and actually it's mingled in with word of wisdom or word of knowledge. It's not straight. Prophecy never predicts, never, never, never predicts. But it brings to bear, it brings with it word of wisdom, word of knowledge. They work together. You understand if you're going to raise the dead, it takes three gifts. A lot of these gifts work together. We're just dividing them. So that when we get to gifts of healings, we'll understand. They work together. You've got to have the gift of special faith. And this is not faith that comes by hearing. This is special faith. You've got to have gifts of healing. But otherwise, they're going to die of the same thing they just died of. And you've got to have working of miracles. It takes three gifts working together. So prophecy and word of wisdom, word of knowledge function together. Word of knowledge you have on your sheet. We did a sheet for you just so we would get the gist of what's happening. There's a lot of word of knowledge, a lot of these gifts in the scripture, but if we haven't studied them, we're not cognizant, we're not aware of them. This is not knowledge by study. This is something God told you you didn't know till he told you, and you didn't have any way of knowing. And there's many, many examples in the scripture. Your definition there is revelation of the Holy Ghost of certain facts in the mind of God. God tells you something you didn't know. We went to a meeting, a ladies' meeting years and years ago, and the lady ministering was strong in word of knowledge. It was quite intriguing. And she came to a lady that was sitting in my vicinity, and she said, "So, did you get your shoes left at the shoe store?" And the lady went, she said, "I saw that. You went to take your husband's shoes at the shoe store, and when you put your hand in your purse to get your money, you hit something that cut your finger." She didn't have any way of knowing that. Word of knowledge is what you don't know, but God's going to tell you. It's not knowledge by study. It's not knowledge because you have a great mind, great mental acumen. Paul was on the road to Damascus. That's in your scriptures here. He was on the road to Damascus, and He was Saul at the time, and he went blind. He saw the Lord. He saw him. What is that? Discerning of spirits. He saw him. You remember Isaiah 6:1, when Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, discerning of spirits. So because we've not been taught, we're relatively ignorant. We don't see some things that would help us. Well, God spoke to Ananias, who says was a disciple. That means he's not a minister. He's just a church member. And he told him exactly where Paul was. And he said, go pray for Paul that he might receive his sight and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's number 4 on your sheet. Arise, go into a street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Ananias would not have known that. Ananias said to the Lord, I don't know, you know, I'm not going to do that. He kills Christians. He didn't have a clue about the road to Damascus. He didn't have a clue about the change in Paul. He didn't know he was blind. He got all that by word of knowledge. God told him. Do you see that? Not study. Now, there's some others in here. Saul sent Kish was Saul's father, and he sent Saul and a servant to find the donkeys they had escaped. I'm sure they didn't have a nice fence. And they had escaped, and he sent them to find them. They looked everywhere. That's in your number 1. They couldn't find them. And the servant said, well, let's just go ask the prophet. Now, that prophet he wasn't on the phone. He didn't email. He said, your daddy's already found him. He didn't know that. Word of knowledge is what you don't know that God tells you for some particular purpose. And then you have number 2. You can read the rest of these. Elijah, Jezebel was going to kill him, and she said, tomorrow I'll have your head on a platter. And he was concerned, and he fled. He left, and he hoped to die. He told the Lord, I want to die. And then he left again and went and hid in a cave, which indicates to me that maybe he didn't really want to die. I mean, if he'd stood still long enough, his wish would have come true. And he told the Lord, I'm the only prophet left. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one. And God said to him, no, there's 7,000 left. Nobody knew that but God. You see, word of knowledge. Now, faith is not on your sheet. Working of Miracles is on, but I didn't do all of these for you. I just want you to get a glimpse that these are supernatural. That's the key word today. These are supernatural gifts. Supernatural, above and beyond the natural. It's natural that you would study, that you would learn, that you would grow, that you would work hard and learn some things just by experience. But it's supernatural when God tells you and you didn't know. Now, in faith, this is not faith that comes by hearing, because you have a part to play in that. You have to hear. It just says faith in the King James. Some translations say special faith, because they want you to know this is not saving faith. Saving faith comes when you hear the gospel message and you act on it by confessing your faith in Jesus as Lord. Saving faith. But this is faith that you didn't have till God gave it to you. You needed it. He gave it to you. Now, one gentleman told me he was a fine man and he and his wife needed a car. They had had some financial dilemmas and they needed a car. And he said, we did everything we could. We claimed every scripture. We read the scripture every day. We prayed every day. We thanked God for our car. He said, we pulled every lever. And said, one day, faith dropped in me and I know I have my car. God just gave it to him. And often, this special faith comes after you've put a little effort into it, when you've done what you could do. Saving faith and faith that comes by hearing, you can do that. And often, special faith. Now, where do you find special faith in the scripture? This is so simple. Where is that? Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, ordinary faith, saving faith. You just sit there in the lions, look at you and like, we're not hungry today. Special faith. Faith that's given. These are supernatural. They don't come naturally. Now, if you look at Word of, which is the bottom of your sheet, the next one, Word of Working of Miracles, there's always something that you have to do to work a miracle. Now, Elijah and Elisha both split the Jordan River by waving their cape over it. Does that sound possible to you? And the river parted. It's working of miracles. It's something God does. Now, I can sit around and wait to see what God would do, but I'm supposed to be active, practicing my faith. I can sit here, gifts of healings, and see if God heals me and die. Because I have a responsibility to read and to confess and to praise God for what He's doing in my life. Gifts of healings is just God healed you because, and I'm going to show you, we have a marvelous scriptural example. Just God heals you because He did. That's amazing. Now, working of miracles, you have Moses divided the sea. God said, stretch your hand out over the sea, and he divided the sea. Just go down to Lake Parker and see if you try that. There's no faith. You don't have, faith won't do that. But the gift of faith, special faith, will do that. And God sends that. You remember the widow that Elijah went and said, make me a cake first, and she said, I was just going to make a cake for my son and I, we were going to die. And he said, no, make it for me first. See, often working miracles has something you're supposed to do first. And then it said, the oil and the meal never, till the famine was over, the meal bucket always had meal. You could make cakes and bread and whatever they did. And the next day you got just as much meal as you had yesterday. She did her part. Working of miracles. Gift of faith just receives. Suddenly, there it is. It's amazing. These come by the Spirit. These come by direction of God and the head of the church through the Spirit. They come through man. They almost always, 99.9% time, they come through a minister or through somebody, layman can even be used, who brings this to you. You see that? And you have to do your part in working the miracles. Now, what was Jesus turn the water into wine? Get you a big bucket and fill with water and see what you can do. Huh? It won't work. This is a miracle. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free, miraculous, a change in one, redeemed by Calvary. You know that song? No. Y'all are so musically ignorant. Now, what about, that's a compliment, by the way. What about they took the little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 people? What do you think that was? It's a working of miracles. It is amazing. Now, look at the scriptures at the bottom of that page. Praise Him for His miracles of might. Praise Him for His magnificent greatness. We are expecting God to do great things in the church. And there's a reason for God to do great things. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. That's the Message Bible. There's no boundaries. There's no boundaries to His greatness. Do not you like that? You cannot outdistance God. You can say, well, I guess God couldn't do that. He might be waiting on you to do something. This is the words of Mary. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. God does great things. He's a magnificent God. Now, gifts of healings, we're there. That's where we're headed. I just want you to get, these are what? Supernatural. These are what? Supernatural. Working of miracles. Gifts that reveal His word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And it isn't, discerning a spirit isn't not that you notice somebody has a real grumpy, bad attitude and you've discerned their spirit. No, you didn't. You saw it. You were looking at them. You were talking to them. They're grumpy. One man discerned a spirit that way, and I didn't say anything. Some people are not open to truth, so I didn't say anything. When you discern, you see. You see. You see. On the road to Damascus, Paul saw. Isaiah saw Christ on God on the throne. You see, you discern the Spirit. Now, of those, which do you think is the greatest? The word of wisdom Word of knowledge, discerning spirit. Word of wisdom is, word of knowledge is always past and present events. Word of wisdom is always future events. So when you have word of wisdom, you see into what is coming, what God is doing tomorrow. And it is the stronger of the three gifts. Prophecy is the stronger of the speaking gifts, and word of wisdom is the stronger of the gifts that reveal. Anybody can look at the facts, do some research, and figure out what has happened in the past or the present. I mean, if you were there, you can. Obviously, the gift works when you weren't there. But word of wisdom is when God shows you his plan and purpose for tomorrow. And it's the strongest gift. Now, gifts that do, you have faith, special faith, faith that's given. And you have gifts of healing, and you have working of miracles. Now, of those, which would be the stronger gift? Well, not gifts of healing, because that's localized. That can be on a very small scale. It's still magnificent, especially if it's your healing. Gifts of healing, working of miracles, and faith. And of course, special faith would be the stronger of that group. When you're trying to, have you ever tried to believe something? Did anybody go talk to themselves in the mirror like I told you to? Is that weird? That's really weird. I'm just telling you. Special faith. Because faith, that faith will carry you over. That faith will perform. That faith will do something. And it's the stronger of those three gifts. Now look at John chapter 5. I did all that so you understand where we're coming from. And this is the Pool of Bethesda, chapter 5, verse 2. There were five porches of people. This is an early nursing home, a rehab center. You get that? If you go to the channel where they, I don't know the name of that program, but they go through Israel and they show you this is where David and Goliath were probably, and it's fascinating. Well, the Pool of Bethesda, we happen to see that one, and it's just a shed kind of thing. Five sheds. And in it lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. The angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So they're just sitting there waiting for the waters to move. Well, who's moving the waters? It wasn't them. They weren't moving at all, hardly. Now this man, verse 5, been there 38 years. Do you know how long 38 years? Do you remember when you were 38? Unless you're not 38. Is anybody not 38 yet? Okay, I thought so. And look at this, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been a long time. And he knew he'd been there a long time. How did he know he'd been there a long time? Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. God knows he's been there a long time. Now, when Jesus is ministering as a man, he is God. He's always God. He's never not God. But he's in ministry, he functions as a man. That's why he says to you and I, the works that I do, you go do. If he's ministering at God, he needn't tell me to go do anything, because I can't function as God. He's God who became man, and I'm a man who takes on the nature of God through faith. And he said, Jesus saw him lie, word of knowledge. He knew he'd been there a long time. Now, when he saw the woman at the well, you remember the woman at the well? He saw her. She came to drink water and get water, and he was there. His disciples had gone to town to get food, and they had a conversation about where to worship, and he tried to explain to her that worship is of the heart. We would understand that. She didn't get that. And he said, go call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, I know. You've had five, and the man you're living with is not your husband. How did he know that? He didn't even know her. He just met her. How did he know that? Word of knowledge. You see? Well, one thing that happens as a result, sometimes you can see the progression of word of knowledge is eventually the whole village came based on her testimony. Now, years ago, this man, he was an alcoholic, his wife was an alcoholic, and he worked with a bunch of Christians, and they kept asking him to lunch, and he didn't want to go to lunch, he wanted to be left alone, leave me alone to drink. But one day he decided that if he went to lunch, maybe they'd go away. So this is his plan. He's going to ditch him. He's going to go to lunch. Well, they took him to a businessman's luncheon with a Christian speaker. And afterwards they say, would you like prayer? Well, he's still on, I could get rid of them if I'm cooperative. That's what he thinks. So he went and the man prayed for him. He never had another drink. Never had another drink. Now, there's no faith there. He's not in faith. So he goes home, and some days and a few weeks later, his wife, who was also alcoholic, said, how come you don't drink anymore? This has really happened. And he said, oh, I'm not drinking? Oh. And she said, would they pray for me? He explained it to her. So he called, and they came by the house, and they prayed for her, and she never drank again. Now, why'd God do that? You know, I don't have to explain why God does things, do I? But I'm going to tell you anyway. They won over time every single member of their family to the Lord, 138 strong, became Christians as a result of this work of God. Sometimes you can't see the purpose, you just know there was a purpose somewhere. And you know when you can't see the purpose, may I say this delicately? It's probably none of your business. Christians can be real nosy. Well, that was a wonderful thing. Now look, Jesus saw him, knew he'd been there a long time. Impotent man is one who has weakness in his legs and feet, feeble in his lower extremities. Now, the reason that's important is because gifts of healing, it's plural, gifts of healings. Now, there are many gifts and many types of healings. And if you follow the scripture, you see that this man, that this gift was raised this man who was feeble. Now, if you go for a prescription, there are many prescriptions because there are many diseases. You got that? Okay. There are many gifts of healings because there are many diseases. And ministers who minister by gifts of healing, anybody can do that, but some people do that with more consistency. Anybody who does that often functions in a particular category. In history, there was a man who could get anybody deaf healed. And the deaf schools would bring their students when he was in town or nearby. And almost all the time, everyone was healed. Now, somebody else wanted something. He said, oh, you know, go ask my wife. That's her gift. Now, he can pray for anybody and God will heal anybody. But the thing that functioned with great efficiency and effectiveness, the thing he was gifted, the gift of healing functioned for him. Dr. Hagin always said, I do better with tumors and growths. Now, that's why it's plural. That's why I want you to see gifts of healings. That's why it's plural. There are different gifts. And you see that. Let me show you in Acts chapter 8. Okay, this is Philip. Went down to verse 5, Acts chapter 8. Went down and preached Christ. And the people, with one accord, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. This is very important that you see the reason for all these gifts and these miracles and these healings is because the people saw the miracle and they came to hear. It draws in the crowd. It draws in the people. And when they saw the miracle, they came in to hear. Unclean spirits cried with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. The gift of healing that functioned through him functioned better in lower extremities. You see that. Now, he could pray for anybody. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. But that gives us a faith responsibility. And there's no faith responsibility in a gift that you... He gave it to you and you got it. And the reason we don't teach this very much is because we could sit around here and wait for him to give us something and it never happened. You understand that? So the people gave heed. In other words, they listened, they paid close attention, they applied themselves, they adhered to what they heard because they saw a miracle. See, that's what we need today. if there was something happening, you could not hold the people that would come to that location. That's what you see in Catherine Kuhlman. And the anointing was so strong, you can read, get her book and read it. I've seen in one part, it's on video, and it's very interesting. But people were healed in their car and on the buses on their way to the auditorium. Is that amazing? Now, there was a little man, I saw it on the video. He came, I probably told you this before, he came to bring his friend who needed a driver who wanted to see Catherine Kuhlman. And so he agreed to drive her. And he was a scientist, a researcher of sorts, and he did not believe in God at all. But he was a nice man. He was going to drive his neighbor. And so she was completely healed, and Catherine Kuhlman would line them all up on the stage and talk to him. So he's just standing there with her because he didn't want to lose track of her, you know. Catherine Kuhlman came to him and said, "And why are you here? What is that? What is happening to her?" Word of knowledge. She knew he didn't come to be healed. He said, "Why are you healed?" He said, "Well, I can hear in my ear. I was totally deaf in that ear, and I can hear." She said, "You can hear in your ear. You got your healing from your ear." He said, "Oh, I don't believe that. You know that's not right. You know God doesn't do that. Ma'am, I'm a scientist. We do not believe in those things. I do not believe in Catherine Kuhlman. She's calm. She's calm." She said, "But you came deaf." He said, "Yes. And now you're here." He said, "Yes. But I don't believe it. Mark that down. I'm not believing that." Now, what happened to him? Was it his faith working? We're people of faith. Your faith will heal you. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe. Believe, believe. We're supposed to function by faith. We're not waiting around on a gift. Might not happen. You don't need a gift. You got faith. So here's this man. Jesus said in verse 6, John 5, are you there? "Will you be made whole?" And he said, "I have no man." In other words, nobody will help me get in the water. He's dependent upon the troubled water to be the first one in the troubled water. That's what he thinks. "When I'm coming, another steps down before me." What is he saying? Do you see any faith in that? There's no faith at all in that. He said, "I can't be healed. If I could, maybe somebody to help me, I might, you know." And Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Now, Jesus isn't responding to faith. There ain't any faith there. He said, "I can't get in the water. I don't have a helper." I love that excuse. Keep that. You might need that at Christmas time. So I would have done that, but I didn't have a helper. Just a hint. Immediately, a man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. Same day was the Sabbath. Now, they found out he was healed on the Sabbath, which was against religious order. Is that a shame? And you come down, and they ask him, verse 12, they came to him, the hierarchy, "What man is it that said, take up your bed and walk?" And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being that. But he didn't even know who Jesus was. He should have at least known that he was the prophet that was laying hands on multitudes, touching them, and they were being healed. He didn't know anything. He did not know who Jesus was. Is there any faith here? What's happening here? It's gifts of healing. It's just a gift of healing. Why'd God do that? Well, there's one hint in verse 6. Jesus said he knew he'd been there a long time. So the first factor we see is mercy. Mercy. "Whereas mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good, and forever his mercy endures." You see? Mercy. And I don't know why else God would do that, but you do see mercy. Now look, we did Acts 8. In Acts 8, it says that these kind of signs and wonders draw multitudes and draw. That's the first purpose of them. They bring the crowd together. Now, Wayne and I went to a convention out of state years ago, and we took our children, which were so happy to be there. But they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then they were happier. You know, that was good. So we were in the stands way up here, and the wheelchair section was on the floor, but it's directly across from us, wheelchairs everywhere, wheelchairs. And the man ministering passed by the wheelchairs, and he looked at everybody. He stared as he went by. We had a good view. And he did that 3 or 4 times, and he always stopped this little lady. You remember how little ladies used to always throw their sweater around their shoulder? Remember that? Anybody remember that? 1, 2, 3 of you? Well, she had her 4, okay, had her sweater around, and he stopped him. He stared at her a number of times as he passed by, and finally he said, "Are you going to get up or not?" I was there. I'm telling you what I saw. And she looked at him, and she had a friend sitting with her she was in a wheelchair, who obviously had brought her. And finally she took that sweater off and threw it over to her friend and made a feeble effort to get up. But once she got up and stood on her feet, she literally went leaping, and she was walking all the way across that auditorium. Once she got a start, what happened? She had a part to play. Often there's something you must do first. Now, you can't fix Thanksgiving dinner without going to the grocery store. Have you noticed that? Often in these gifts, there's something you should do. If you're going to sit in the lion's den, God's going to grant you faith. Now, according to Acts 8, they came because they'd seen the miracles. That's 8:6. Now look at Acts 4. You can take this study sheet home and read it and help you. Acts 4, Peter and John had been arrested, been in prison, and when they were let go, it said they went to their own company. That's verse 23. Everybody needs somebody to go to who believes what you believe, who will stand with you and declare the truth and help you and hold your hand. And so that's where they went and said, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord. So this is the consensus of what all of them said together. And you need a together body. You need to be in a together place. They lifted up their voice with one accord. And here's part of what they said down in verse 29. "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings." And grant, see, they told him, "Don't teach any more in that name." They found out the name of Jesus lights fires. They weren't interested. "Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that all boldness they may speak thy word." Now, I struggle with these two verses, verse 29 and 30, for years and years and years and years and years. And I'd read them and I'd say, what is it about that doesn't make sense to me? But when I read, I said, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant that all boldness they may speak their word, and stretch forth your hand to heal." I read it and it doesn't say "and." What does it say? It's real important. By. It says "by." The boldness to speak comes after the signs and wonders. Boldness and the speak, the crowd gathers because of what they saw, and the boldness comes because the crowd is listening intently. This is what you saw in Acts chapter 8. "By stretching forth your hand to heal, the signs and wonders will be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." Now, what is a wonder? It's something that makes you wonder. You see it and you think, wow. And a sign identifies a building. Well, what does a sign do? It identifies the message. It draws the crowd. The crowds come. It identifies the message. Now, you have that in Mark 16. Final verse. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Validating the word. The sign said, "This is really me. This is my word. I am God." Do you see that? Confirmed the word. The signs and the wonders drew the crowd. They came because they knew Philip was doing something spectacular. And Philip's gift fell mostly in lower extremities. You can see that very clearly. It was a specific gift of healing, though he prayed for them all and cast out devils. But the thing that worked for him supernaturally, more supernaturally, was the gift of healing. And then this verse says, The sign confirmed the word. When there's a sign, it says, this is really the word you're hearing. This is really God speaking. This is really what God said. This is really what the King James people got correct. Usually. Usually they get it correct. Now look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:3. These are supernatural gifts. Faith is not faith by hearing. Knowledge is not faith, is not knowledge through study or experience. This is what God does, and if he doesn't do it, you don't have it. And he does it because you need it and you don't know. Now, 4:3. Which is not the right reference. So, let me see what my paper says. Not 4:2, but 2:4. I should have thought of that. God also bearing them witness. God validating what they had said. Validating the message. Saying by signs and wonders, this is really me. This is really my word. This is really what I'm saying. And with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. That word gifts of the Holy Spirit is the word to distribute. And it has to do with the distributing of the gifts among God's people. It's a word of ministry. It has to do with ministers. And what it says is ministers of the Holy Ghost according to his will. He's validating the people. He's saying, this is my man. He's brought my message. And they came because they saw something. That's why you watch the news. Because we're a lazy people. And you can see it, you don't have to go there. Isn't that why you do that? Is that why you did that?